Bibles, open them up to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to look at verses 10 through 18. The Holy Spirit's been speaking to me this week about something very specific that I think is going to be a blessing to you. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. Oh, his might. One got that. All right. Okay, all right. Y'all awake out there? Here we go. In the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's talking about in the spiritual realm, the invisible realm. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking, say above all. Above all. My ears perk up when, and my eyes kind of get a little bigger when I read above all. That's pretty important, isn't it? Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer. That literally means all kinds of prayer, because there's different kinds of prayer, right? Not to Mary, by the way. That's not a kind of prayer. Are you following me? Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. All right, today I want to zoom in on, and I want to zoom in on one piece of the spiritual armor that the Word of God talks about for the Christian. And that is, you probably guessed it when I put a stop on the above all. What do you think it is? The shield of faith. The shield of faith. When the Word of God says, above all, take the shield of faith, we better know some things about the shield of faith. Amen? So the Holy Spirit was really speaking to me about the importance of the shield of faith, what it really is, what are some powerful points about it that will help us in our life as a, not just a believer, come on, but a disciple. Say disciple. Disciple. Ah, hallelujah. A shield. What is a shield? Number one, a shield is defined as this. Ready? A person or thing providing protection. Interesting, isn't it? You expected a different meaning on that or definition, I bet. Let me say it again. A shield is defined as a person or thing providing protection. Now, we as Christians, I want you to think about this. We as Christians have both. We have a person and we have a thing providing protection for us. Amen? Now, what are you're saying, Pastor James, what are you talking about? Well, we have the Holy Spirit, who is a person, right? He has mind, will, and emotions. He's a person. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the angels of God in the kingdom of God providing protection. And then the thing that we have, say thing. The thing that we have to protect us, according to the Word of God, is the shield of faith. The shield of faith. The Word of God reveals. Now, I just want to take just a little jaunt just quickly on one other thing. The Word of God reveals that there's the breastplate of righteousness. Say breastplate of righteousness. As a protective covering as well. Obviously, today I want to focus on that, on the shield of faith. But the breastplate of righteousness, which I just briefly want to touch on, the breastplate of righteousness is very important because it guards our heart. I'm not talking about the pump. I'm talking about our spirit, talking about our soul. It guards our heart, and it reminds us of our true identity in Christ. All right? Now, righteousness has two sides to it. Number one, righteous, we're made righteous through faith in Jesus Christ because of the sinless life that he lived, right? But then the other side of the coin is that we are to live a holy life on this earth, right? Oh, come on, you can do better than that. We're righteous through Christ, and then we're expected to live that out with a holy life, a life that's separate from the world, separate from sin. Amen? Both aspects of righteousness, by the way, must be active for the breastplate of righteousness to work effectively to guard your heart and establish your true identity in Christ. If one of those sides of righteousness is not active, darts go right through that breastplate from the enemy. Are you following me? So listen to this. The breastplate of righteousness is fixed upon the chest area, spiritually speaking, to protect your heart, the core of who you are in Christ. The moment that comes off, the moment that we back off from that righteousness, that two-sided coin, we backslide from Jesus. Are you following me? So we have to have that. Now, here we go. Ready? That's all I want to talk about with the breastplate of righteousness. Now we're going back to the shield of faith. Oh, I'm excited. I got some things I want to share that are so powerful. The shield of faith is not in a fixed location. A shield can be moved around to wherever it is needed at the moment. Amen? For protection. And that shield, figuratively speaking, is faith. Say faith. Just like the breastplate of righteousness is not a literal breastplate, it's righteousness. The shield of faith is not a literal shield, it's faith. All right? It is faith that acts like a shield in the spirit realm. Just like the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. The Holy Spirit's not a dove. He came down like a dove. It's figuratively speaking. Amen? Someone, listen to this. This is what you got to understand about the spiritual armor. Someone can act like they're putting on the spiritual armor all they want, but without truly having knowledge, character, and the traits that make up that spiritual armor that makes it so effective, it's powerless. A person can be just as spiritually naked as they were, come on, before acting like they're putting on the spiritual armor. Amen? Yeah, I mean, we've all been taught that, right? Remember as kids? Come on, pick up that shield, put the shoes, preparation of the gospel of peace, right? Well, it's worthless if you don't know anything about that. It's worthless if you're not doing what you need to do to make it active. Amen? So if you're going to use faith effectively as a shield in the spirit realm, you need to have an understanding of what? Shields? You need an understanding of faith. Oh, hallelujah. See, a lot of people focus on, oh, it's a shield, and they don't know a lick about faith. Well, there is no shield. There is no effectiveness in your shield if you don't know what faith is, because it's faith which is that shield. Amen? Go with me to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3, I want to look at. And it says this. Now, this is defining what faith is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by what? By faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now, so faith then, at the most basic definition, according to the word, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you got to understand this about faith. Faith is spiritual. Say that. Faith is spiritual. So that means this. If you're going to be in a fleshly mindset, you cannot operate in faith. Faith is spiritual. Faith is a belief. Faith is a conviction in your heart on the inside. It is substance, it says. That's interesting. In other words, you know the Word of God is true. It's such a strong conviction in your heart in connection to the Word of God, and that's all the evidence that you need. Amen? That's when you know faith is active. Jesus said these words. He said, "Blessed are those who have not seen with their natural eyes, but believe with their heart." There is a blessing attached to faith because ultimately, here's what it is. Are you ready? It's absolute, unwavering trust in God and His Word. The importance of faith is this. Are you ready? I'm telling you, you got to get a hold of this. This will change your walk with God if you really take hold of what faith really is. Here we go. The importance of faith is this. It must be active. It can only be active. Ready? When everything in the natural realm in your life is contrary to what you're believing for. Oh, are you following me? In other words, when your life is a wreck, when everything looks like a mess around you, nothing's going right, that's when faith needs to be active in your life. Always remember this. Oh, you got to get this. The Holy Spirit made this very clear to me. Are you ready? Faith does not control the timing of the arrival of the blessing in the natural realm. Oh, come on. I'm telling you right now, this is where Christians disconnect their faith right there. Let me say it again. Faith does not control the timing of the arrival of the blessing in the spirit realm, but it does guarantee that it will manifest in the natural realm if you maintain your belief and conviction and what you're believing God for is rooted in His Word. Oh, come on. Listen, I know this is deep. Follow me. So we are expected to believe that we have received something when we pray for something. And the key is this, believing you received it in the spirit realm. Spiritual agreement with the Word of God and spiritual agreement with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:3 says that Jesus provided spiritual blessings for us. So when you have faith in what Jesus provided, you're believing in that spiritual blessing, and that faith transfers it into the natural realm. Are you following me? Listen to this. This is what many Christians don't understand about faith. The now faith, right? Faith is now. Hope is future. Faith is now. All right? A lot of Christians think that the now means that it's being received in the natural realm and you're going to be able to see it and experience it in the natural realm. No, believing now means you take hold of it now, believe it in the spirit realm, that it's a provision in the spirit realm. Are you following me?
Yeah.
All right? So when Christians don't see anything change in the natural realm right away, what happens? We've all done it. They get discouraged and stop believing they received it. Because doggone it, they thought it should appear right now in the natural realm, and it didn't. So therefore, I must not have had faith. Well, that's not true. Faith must be active while you don't see any change in the natural realm. In fact, it's going against your flesh. Are you following me? Faith is totally contrary to what your fleshly desires are going to say. All right? When the promise appears, when what you prayed for happens or manifests in your life, you don't need faith anymore. It's done. It's over. Faith done its job. Are you following me? Again, faith, I gotta drop this on you again. Faith does not control the timing of when a blessing will manifest in the natural realm. It simply believes and locks, you lock into it with your heart. You lock into it with your thought life in the spirit realm. Now remember this, you cannot control a person's free will. Anybody figure that out yet? And the Holy Spirit said this, are you ready? He said, this is why, this is why you cannot control the timing of when it arrives in the natural because people's free will are at stake. and the Holy Spirit's trying to work and deal with a person's heart. Are you following me? That's why you can't control it. If you could control the timing on it, guess what it would be? Witchcraft. It would be spiritual witchcraft. Are you following me? When the Holy Spirit spoke that to me, I about fell out of my chair. I'm like, that makes total sense. But listen to this. Because you believe you received it, you locked into that blessing in the spirit realm. And because you locked into it, how do you know if you have faith? You ever ask yourself that? How do I know if I truly have faith? Here's why. Because after you prayed and believed for something, you prayed for something, after your prayer, is there peace in your heart? Do you have a joy in your heart that you have an expectation? This thing is, I have it. It's mine. It's going to manifest in the natural realm. If you can say those words, you operated in faith. If you walk away discouraged after a prayer, try again. Go back. You've got to build your faith up a little bit. Get into the Word. Build your faith up on that thing. Amen? But you must maintain. You need to maintain that belief in your heart and in your thought life all the way to the manifestation of it. How long is it going to be, Pastor James? I don't know. Could be hours. Could be days. Could be months. Guess what? Some people, according to the Word, they waited years for promises. Are you following me? So you got to hold on. Say, I got to hold on. Oh, hallelujah. Don't allow the enemy and their fiery darts to influence or persuade you to disconnect your faith in what you're believing God for. Listen to this. There's different kinds of currency in the spirit realm. And the Holy Spirit said faith is one currency in the spirit realm. Faith is the mode of transportation for a blessing, for a promise in the Word of God to be converted from, like I said, a spiritual blessing through Christ and coming into the natural realm. I don't know. I just love that. I love saying those words. It just sounds so cool, doesn't it? Faith is like a pipeline. Say it's a pipeline. Yeah. You need to understand, if you're going to effectively use faith as a shield or protection of your life, in your life, you need to hold on. Say, I need to hold on. So knowing that faith must be active, listen to this, how I tie this in. Knowing that your faith must be active when everything appears and seems to be negative in the spiritual realm. We can know then that the shield of faith must be used when everything in the natural realm is going to want to make you to give up. This must mean then that the enemy, the entire kingdom of darkness, is shooting fiery darts at you to try to make you to give up and give up on pressing in and believing for the promises of God in your life. This is what the shield of faith is supposed to quench, those kind of attacks, those things that will try to make you to disconnect your faith. The kingdom of darkness, demons, evil spirits, all of them, are constantly trying to discourage you so that you will cut off, disengage your faith, like I said, so you will not receive the blessings of God in your life. Here's what you need to know. If the kingdom of darkness cannot stop you from getting born again, guess what they're going to try to do? They're going to try to get you, try to influence you, to cut your faith off so you live a miserable and defeated life on this earth. That's their next best thing. Oh, yeah, they love to try to make Christians look like they're defeated. Are you following me? Oh, hallelujah. Listen to this. The purpose of faith is to act as a shield, like I said, to protect you from the fiery darts or those attacks. So then, how does the enemy attack us? How do they try to discourage us? How do they, I want to say it this way, you ready? This is really what it comes down to. How does the kingdom of darkness communicate those things to us in our thought life? They communicate those fiery darts. Fiery darts are thoughts that they put in. Fiery darts are the negative communication from the kingdom of darkness in the spirit realm to us personally. Say communication. Fiery darts are spiritual communication from the kingdom of darkness to you personally. Communication in the spirit realm is accomplished by two things. Are you ready? By thoughts and pictures or visions. Communication in the spirit realm is accomplished by thoughts. Every time you have a thought, you're transmitting. You're transmitting a communication in the spirit realm. Did you know that? Every time you picture something in your imagination, you're transmitting something in the spirit realm. And then you're drawing something from one of the two kingdoms. There are two ways of communication in the spirit realm. Thoughts, pictures, or visions in your imagination. Listen to this. Your imagination is spiritual communication by pictures and by images. All right? Well, listen. I want to try to get you to be very sharp on what the enemy is trying to convey to you. If you don't know it's the enemy shooting it at you, you won't have your shield of faith up. Are you following me? So your imagination is spiritual communication by pictures or images. Your imagination, just think about it this way. Your spirit or imagination is a receiver and a transmitter of spiritual communication in the spirit realm. Here's what you need to know. Are you ready for this? Not everything that you're thinking or imagining is originating from you. Come on, somebody. Not everything that you're thinking or picturing in your imagination is from you. Some of those things are from, are you ready? From the Holy Spirit, from God's angels, or from the kingdom of darkness, demons and evil spirits. And here's the problem with that. Are you ready for this? Here's the problem. You must discern. You need to consistently discern or sort out who it's from. Now, here's something that you need to know and understand about the shield of faith. The shield of faith does not come in different shapes or sizes, all right? Remember, the Holy Spirit is just using the word shield figuratively to describe the function of faith in connection to the attacks of the enemy and the kingdom of darkness, okay? Faith acts like a shield, but again, it's not a literal shield. All right? So the main thing to focus on is not a shield, it focus on faith. The Word of God, here's what you got to understand about this then. If it's all about faith, you got to understand this. The Word of God refers to different levels of faith, does it not? And those different levels are these. It mentions strong faith, little faith, and no faith. This is all in connection to the spiritual armor of the shield of faith right now. Strong faith, little faith, or no faith. So keep in mind, faith and fear cannot operate together. Faith and fear cannot coexist at the same time. So you could say it this way then. Are you ready for this? I just know some of y'all never heard this before. Listen, there is protection in strong faith. You guys agree with that? There's protection, right? There's protection in strong faith, and there's even a little protection in little faith. Now, where do I get that from? Because faith can be the size of a what? Mustard seed. You got to understand this. Even faith the size of a mustard seed does not have fear and unbelief in it. Or else it wouldn't be faith. Are you following me? Because faith and fear cannot coexist at the same time. You either believe or you don't, right? Now, the danger of having no faith is that it's an open door or a gateway for fear to come into your heart or thought life. You agree with that? So faith invites things connected to the kingdom of God, good things, into your life, but fear invites things connected to the kingdom of darkness into your life, which are bad things. Boy, we're really getting just basic, right? See, all my messages just aren't up here. I come down here. We got to do some Christianity 101, right? So fear is faith contaminated. We talked about this on Wednesday night a little bit. Fear is faith contaminated, or what we like to call perverted faith. It's twisted. You're still believing something. You're just believing the wrong thing. Amen? All right? But here's what you got to understand. Faith and fear, because they both believe something, they both receive something. But you're receiving and plugging into a different, one of the two different kingdoms. All right? Now, those three levels of faith are not referring to the size of the shield of faith, but rather this. The Holy Spirit spoke this to me very clear. Are you ready for this? Because you think, oh, strong faith. Wow, I must have a big shield around me. Little faith? Okay, I still got one, but you know, I might just cover this area here. No faith? Man, I'm wide open target, right? Has nothing to do with it. Here's what the Holy Spirit said. He said the three different levels of faith are referring to this, the effectiveness of your faith. Oh, let it just soak in a little bit. Let it soak in. Not the size of the shield, but the effectiveness of your faith to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. Now, those three different levels of faith in your heart will determine if you are effective in thwarting off and quenching the fiery darts of the enemy. It will determine if the fiery darts, are you ready? Hit their intended target successfully and cause you to negatively be affected by the spiritual attacks of the enemy. Now, I taught on this a few messages ago, and maybe it was a while ago. I don't know. I lose track, right? What day is it? It's May already. It's crazy, right? But I want to say it again for the new people that are here and to be a reminder to the regulars here as well. I want you to notice that the Word of God refers to the enemy's spiritual attacks or communication to us as fiery darts, not just darts. For some reason, it adds fiery onto that, and that should make you stop and say, why? What's the meaning of that? Because a dart would be bad enough, wouldn't it? But doggone it, it's a fiery dart. That sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? So what's the significance of the fiery dart? The significance is this, and you're going to have an aha moment in a moment here. The enemy is not putting a negative thought in your thought life and imagination to negatively affect just one area of your life. Oh, no. They're trying to affect multiple areas of your life. If you take hold of a negative thought and meditate on it, and make it yours, it will then spread, come on, like wildfire and negatively affect every area of your life. Are you following me? So here's what the Holy Spirit gave me a picture of. He said, they're like arsonists. Say arsonist. You know what an arsonist is, right? They go around setting everything on fire. An arsonist, they just don't throw a rock through the window of a house or building. No, what will they do? They throw something with fire attached to it. So that not they just don't want to break a window. They want to break the window as a mode of transportation to bring fire in, which will destroy the whole house. That's what the enemy's trying to do to Christians. That's why they're fiery darts. The enemy is nothing more, nothing less than a spiritual arsonist. Think about that. When the Holy Spirit gave me that picture of it, it just became all clear. Wow. They're not just trying to hit one area of your life. Oh, no. They want that thing to land, and they want the fire to become wildfire and spread in every area of your life. And that's why bitterness is not just bitterness alone. It's a tornado of negative emotions. Oh, the enemy's just trying to stir you up with that unforgiveness and all those things as a tornado. So a root of bitterness. And guess what the word says? It will defile you. Meaning, it'll defile your whole life. I wish I'd known this when I was their age. Are you following me? I wish I knew this stuff. Man, it would have caused, it would have protected me from so much of the junk I went through. Amen? So Satan, demons, and evil spirits, the whole kingdom of darkness, they're spiritual arsonists, and they're trying to destroy every area of your life. Why? Because they're very strategic. They're very strategic. Okay? They're trying to invade every area of your life with destructive spiritual fire in your thought life. They put a thought in, and they're hoping, they're waiting. They put a thought in or a picture in your imagination. Why? Because that's spiritual communication. Evil spirits, they don't have a physical mouth like this. They don't have vocal cords, right? But they're a spirit. Just like when you have inner thoughts silently in your head, you're communicating in the realm of the spirit. So that's how they communicate to you, through thoughts, all right? And they're hoping, they put a thought in, and they are just hoping, and they're waiting. They're waiting, please, please, Marianne, take hold of that thought and make it your own. And the moment you do, the fire breaks out. The fire breaks out. Are you getting this? The shield of faith will quench or put those fires out on those darts or those thoughts to prevent it from spreading fire, from spreading poison, from spreading destruction in your life. Now, because the enemy is strategic in their attacks, we need to be many steps ahead of them. Do you agree with that? If they're strategic, we need to be even more strategic. We must be aware and on guard. The Bible says this way, be sober and vigilant. Be sober and vigilant. And do you know where our one advantage really comes from? Do you think you can outsmart a supernatural enemy on your own? Here's where we get put over. Are you ready? With the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit's the one that exposes, reveals, and gives us the next plan of action. Amen? So the spiritual attacks from the enemy, again, can come through thoughts, pictures on the inside, visions in your imagination. But are you ready for this? The Holy Spirit just, he's so good. Listen to this. But they can also come through spoken words of other people. Listen to this. Many times, the enemy hides behind and operates through people in your life. Okay. If you read the book of Job, all right, Satan appears on the scene from like chapter 1 to 3 or 4, something like that, like just right in the beginning, okay? Just in the first few chapters. And then he's not revealed as speaking or anything like that or showing up on the scene. And Job's a pretty big book. What is it, like 42 chapters? It's a big, big book in the Bible. But listen to this. I was watching a minister this week. I believe it was Perry Stone. Anybody like Perry Stone up in here? Oh, yeah, he's got some good stuff. Anyways, I was watching his show, and he was talking about this a few days ago. He said he asked the Lord, Lord, why is there no interaction or mention of Satan speaking after chapter 3 in the book of Job? And the Holy Spirit spoke this to him. Are you ready for this? This will blow your mind. He said this, Satan didn't have to be mentioned or appear again, but because he spoke through Job's friends to attack and discourage him. What? Whoa! Revelation bomb. Isn't that amazing? He hid behind Job's friends. If you read all through Job, you'll see that. They're always telling Job, you're not believing enough. You're not blah, blah, blah. They're always cutting him down. And it was the enemy behind them trying to discourage Job. Another example of the enemy hiding behind someone is that girl in the book of Acts. I believe it's Acts 16 or 19. The girl with the spirit or demon of divination that followed Paul and his evangelism crew. And she was sounding very spiritual, right? Oh, these are the servants of the Most High God. I mean, she was sounding like she was on fire. Most Christians would give her a high five. Yeah, oh. But Paul started to get grieved in his spirit. The Holy Spirit was showing him, that's not the Holy Ghost. That's not her. There's a demon behind her. Trying to stir things up for you, Paul. So Paul got grieved, and it said he waited many days. I don't know how long exactly, but he waited until he knew that he knew that he had the word from the Holy Spirit, and then he turned to that girl and said, "Come out of her in the name of Jesus." And the demon came out, and she stopped her spiritual talk. Are you following me? Now, so how about Peter? Peter was trying to stop Jesus from going to the cross, and Jesus said to Peter, he looked, turned and looked at Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan." Satan even tried to hide behind Peter, a disciple of Jesus. Are you getting this? I feel like this pulpit's about ready to explode up here. Now listen. We must desire, pray for, and believe for strong and very sharp spiritual discernment. Not everything, listen to me, not everything that looks or sounds spiritual or religious is from the Holy Ghost. You've got to understand this truth. Now, if you have received the Holy Spirit baptism, the Holy Spirit baptism is you receive the Holy Spirit baptism after getting born again. It's very easy. Heavenly Father, baptize me with your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Just ask him. Ask him. It's that simple, right? We don't have to have a whole ceremony or a charade on this thing, right? You receive him by faith. Now, if you have received the Holy Spirit baptism, the Bible's very clear that you then become eligible for the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, okay? It's very clear. How do we know that? Because Jesus did not do one miracle or operate in one spiritual gift until the Holy Spirit came what? Upon him. When Jesus had to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, okay? But the spiritual gifts are mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, 1 Corinthians 12:10 mentions one of those spiritual gifts that we should all desire and pray for. And it's called this. Are you ready? The discerning of spirits. The discerning of spirits. That spiritual gift is for your protection and my protection from deception, from harm and deception coming into our life. Amen? From being trying to be pulled out of the will of God for your life. Now, I want you to notice something very important. Let's zoom in on this thing. Are you ready? I want you to notice it's called the discerning of spirits. Plural. More than one. Not just discernment. Not just discernment. Not discernment in the spirit. Oh, no. Discerning of spirits. Now, this is significant. Here's why. Because this spiritual gift or manifestation of the Holy Spirit reveals this, the root source of actions or spoken words from another person. Oh, come on, let's do this. This is good. Boy, listen to this. This gift, the discerning of spirits, reveals, when it's in operation, reveals the root source of actions or spoken words from another person. Now, here's what you got to understand. There are 3 sources that can come from. Say 3. There's 3 sources that can be the root of actions or spoken words out of a person. Here they are. Number 1, it can come from a person's own human spirit. It can just be the person. All right? Just them dumb selves saying something stupid. Right? Lacking knowledge, lacking understanding. They say something dumb, right? The next one, it can be from the Holy Spirit, right? Or the last one, it can be from a demon or an evil spirit. So 3 sources of actions and spoken words from someone, your own human spirit, the Holy Spirit, or a demon spirit or an evil spirit. Now, that's it. Those are the 3 roots. Those are it. That's it. So we are told to desire spiritual gifts, right? Now, this is yet another reason and more proof that the Holy Spirit baptism is not optional for us. It's required basic equipment for Christians on this earth. It's not just a charismatic thing. It's not a Pentecostal thing. It's not a Living Waters Chapel thing. This is a Bible thing. This is a God thing. Amen? It's not optional. It's a requirement. Now, do you need the Holy Spirit baptism to go to heaven? No. You need faith in Jesus. But you might get to heaven quicker without the baptism and the Holy Spirit. Did you hear what I just said? Did you hear what I just said? You need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit to help us in our everyday life, in our ministry. Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you. He's in you when you get born again, but you got to ask him to come upon you, to equip you, to advance the kingdom of God. So it is a part of the basic equipping that we need on this earth to effectively advance the kingdom of God and to, come on, avoid deception in our life. Think about this. The only way that the kingdom of darkness can operate and get an advantage over a Christian is one way, and one way only, deception. Say deception. Even when we willingly sin, we are in deception because we're not thinking of the consequences of our actions or words. Are you following me? It's still deception. We're deceived. If we really had a revelation of what we're sowing in the spirit, the evil doors were opening when we sin, guess what we would do? We wouldn't sin. So the enemy operates under deception. You're not going to get in trouble for doing that. Oh, you can sneak around here. Your wife or husband will never find out. Are you following me? It's a lack of knowing and understanding the consequences of sin. Now, that is why we need to desire and pray for discernment. This is why we need the fullness of the Holy Spirit and receive the Holy Spirit baptism. And once you receive the Holy Spirit baptism, you got to stay in tune with the Holy Ghost and obey him, right? What's the point of receiving and having him and you're not listening to him? Listen to this. I'm almost done. Satan, demons, and evil spirits will hide behind and speak through not only strangers, but through family members. Oh, I hear some amens on that one. Okay. Through family members, through other Christians at times, maybe through fellow church members, basically people that are close to you. Now, here's what you got. Think about it. The people that can hurt you, the people that can wound you the most emotionally and spiritually, get this, ready for this truth bomb, are not strangers, but people you're closest to. And guess what? The enemy knows that. Why? Because he's very strategic. Are you following me? It's not the stranger you got to be looking out for. It's the people in your inner circle sometimes. Are you following me? I'm not trying to make you paranoid, but I am. I'm just saying, know. The enemy's going to try to come through people that are close to you where that wound is really going to hurt. That wound that's going to make you want to not come back to church. Are you following me? Now, so they are the ones that the enemy will try to use at times to get you outside of the will of God for your life with discouragement and, come on, somebody, wrong advice. Say wrong advice. And that is why, listen, that is why, do you think, that is why Satan used Peter, who was in Jesus' inner circle, to speak to Jesus to try to tell him, I don't want you to die. I don't want you to go to the cross. It was someone in Jesus' inner circle. Peter, a disciple. He was a big mouth at times, but nevertheless, he was in the inner circle. Right? But here's what you got to understand. Don't be naive. Right? Don't be naive, but be discerning. Here's another one. How the enemy can get in. Don't take prophetic words lightly or at face value, right? Pray about them. Filter them out with the word of God, right? And with whether you have a peace on the inside or is there a lack of peace when it's given, right? And all the prophetic people said, Amen, right? See, here's what you got to understand. The kingdom of darkness, the Holy Spirit made this very clear. This is why we got to be careful about the prophetic. Ready? The kingdom of darkness knows how quick to give and to receive, and how out of control Christians can be with the prophetic words when ministering to someone. So where do you think the enemy is going to want to creep in? In prophetic words. Are you following me? You ever gotten a prophetic word from someone and you're like, ugh, I feel dirty. I feel like I got to take a shower after hearing that. Ugh. Are you following me? Oh, this, I'm giving you some wisdom right here. Living Waters, I'm giving you some wisdom. So the enemy knows how many Christians were just like birdies in a nest, and we're just sitting there with our mouth open, and they were anybody's dropping any prophetic word that they can, and they're receiving it. Are you following me? It's crazy. It's gotten out of control. The prophetic has gotten out of control. It's become too common, and too much of the flesh and the demonic have got in. Are you following me? No. So that is why the enemy will try to hide behind even the prophetic, okay? And will try to be a mouthpiece to someone through that. Because the enemy knows how stupid we can be as Christians in connection to the prophetic, right? So we've gotten very, very sloppy in connection to the prophetic. But you got to understand this. God takes it very serious. I'm not talking about anyone here, okay? Everyone, we take it seriously, right? God takes it very seriously when someone is saying that they're a messenger or a mouthpiece from the Holy Spirit when it isn't Him. When it's their own flesh. Or worse yet, when they're influenced by a demon spirit to speak. Are you following me? In the Old Testament, it was so serious of a thing to give a prophetic message from God that when it wasn't, when it was a false prophet, guess what happened? They were put to death. Or there's some horrible consequences attached to it. Now, I'm not saying, I don't want to freak anybody out from trying to step out and prophesy. I'm not saying that Christians can't or won't make mistakes in the prophetic gift. But here's what I am trying to warn people against. Don't treat it so common that you're prophesying out of your flesh and saying it's God. Be mature enough to take correction and learn from it, right? That's all I'm saying. We got to be very, very careful. I mean, do you see me walking up to every person and giving a prophetic word all the time? Right? I got to know that I know that I have a confirmation in my spirit, right? But any Christian can be led by the Holy Spirit, but they can also be led by their own thoughts, their own emotions, and their own flesh. And any Christian can be influenced by the enemy. All right? Especially, are you ready for this? Here's the problem. Especially if there is a wounding in that person's emotions or an offense or unforgiveness in their heart. That's when you got to know to stay silent and don't force anything. Are you following me? Now, sometimes there can be a mixture of each of those things. Sometimes there is a true word from the Lord, but someone's flesh gets in the way and maybe how it's delivered. Are you following me? We got to be careful. In fact, how do you know when a prophetic word is really from the Lord? When it goes against everything that's in your fleshly desires. Why? Because the prophetic, you're speaking the heart of God, not the heart of James. Are you following me? We're supposed to even love our enemies, right? Okay, now, I mean, I'm telling you, I've heard some crazy things over the years in ministry. Some evil things come out of Christians' mouths in the name of the prophetic. Now, I'm not trying to make you fearful. I'm just trying to make you cautious, right? Listen, I've heard some Christians that have left churches and were disgruntled by the last pastor. They literally prophesied death curses over the leadership that they where they left. Are you following me? Oh, that pastor's going to get cancer. They're going to get a disease. Are you kidding me? Friend, that's a demonic spirit. That's a combination of a demonic spirit and their flesh. Well, the enemy operates through the flesh. You understand, right? I couldn't believe it. It's like I almost passed out hearing this. Edification, comfort. Hello, somebody. Now, so, again, a prophetic word is from God's heart, not our own heart. It's from God's heart. So that's why if you're going to step and walk in the prophetic, you got to make sure you're shielding off any of those hurts, any of those wounds, any of the frustrations, and you're making sure it's coming through just how the Holy Spirit is speaking it. In the spirit of that. You understand? All right. But I don't know. I felt like I really needed to go into that. Now, real quick, let me just finish up here on the shield of faith. Going back to the shield of faith. Faith is called a shield because having faith will protect you. Faith will protect you. Do you know that? Faith will save your life. Amen? Faith protects you, and fear exposes you to the enemy and to the curse. Now, there's three levels that the shield of faith, if you want your shield of faith to function properly and to stop those fiery darts, here's what you got to do. At the most basic, there's three areas. At the most basic foundational level, faith acts as a shield of protection in your thought life. Faith guards your heart. Amen? Real quick, look at 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. I got 6 minutes, so I'm doing well. I only got one more page left, I'm done. Now, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." Bringing every thought. Why? Because thoughts are spiritual communication. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So again, so the enemy uses thoughts and imaginations to try to discourage you. They're trying to keep you out of standing in faith or maintaining faith for your blessing to come to pass. The next level that the shield of faith acts through is your actions. Say actions. The Word of God says faith without works is dead, right? And that ties into the breastplate of righteousness, knowing your identity in Christ, and out of that identity of knowing who you are, living a holy life, right? So knowing and remembering your identity in Christ and living a holy life will protect you, amen? Look at Proverbs 2:7 real quick. Proverbs 2:7. This is how to keep your faith, your shield, in proper position. Hallelujah. Proverbs 2, 7 through 8. It said, "He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a," underline it right here, "he is," God is, "a shield to those who walk uprightly, who live holy, who obey him. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints." Isn't that good to know? There are many promises in the Word of God that talk about being protected when you live holy, when you live righteously on this earth. So we need to be doers of the Word. Amen? The last thing I want to finish up on, the next level of faith that acts as a shield is through your spoken words. Go to Isaiah 54:7. Isaiah 54:7. Hallelujah. Bringing this thing home right now. Isaiah 54:17. Isaiah 54:17. And it says these words, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord." Amen. So word curses, say word curses. Word curses are going to be spoken against you. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. In fact, many of us have even had word curses spoken over us in our mother's womb, even before we were conceived. And there might be some of you watching and listening online right now, that you have never broken those curses, and you're living under that curse. Now, so God gives us a course of action. He gives us a remedy for word curses in our life. We are told to verbally condemn those word curses. So if someone speaks death over you, guess what you need to do? Speak life over yourself. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I renounce every word curse right now that anybody is speaking over me. I release prosperity. I release life. I release health. Are you following me? You come through and you break that thing with your spoken word. Your faith in connection with your spoken word will override the word curses. Hallelujah. So we condemn and break those things by verbally speaking against them. The word of God says we believe and therefore we speak. So be careful what you're speaking, because if you speak it, the word says you're believing it. So what is coming out of your mouth? Amen? You speak what you believe. Confess the word of God. Confess the words that align with the word of God. This is why your confession, your spoken words are so powerful. They break word curses that are spoken against you, and they release blessings. So, the shield of faith manifests or is active by controlling your thought life, which includes your emotions, acting and living righteously or being a doer of the word, and verbally speaking the word of God, speaking blessings over your life. So being diligent. Are you ready for this? You need to be diligent in what you, oh, come on, we break it down right here. What you think, say, and do. Diligent in what you think, say, and do. Being diligent in what you think, say, and do will keep your shield of faith effective against the enemy. So manifesting faith in those three areas of what you think, say, and do will assure that your shield of faith is up, it's effective, and actively quenching the fiery darts of the enemy in your life. So, church, don't get caught with an ineffective shield in this battle that we are against in the kingdom of against the kingdom of darkness. We need every advantage we can get to advance the kingdom of God. Let's stand up in this place. The shield of faith. Hallelujah. Prayer team, come on down. Glory to God. Now, maybe there's someone in this place. I always like to give an opportunity. If you have not made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, please, I don't want you to ever leave this service, a service here, and you said no, and you die, and you go to hell. And on Judgment Day, you say, nobody gave me the invitation at Living Waters Chapel. Today's your invitation. If you want to make Jesus Lord of your life, you want to know that you know that when you take your last breath, you're going to be with the Lord for eternity. I want you to come down and just pray with one of our prayer team members. Now, if this message really hit you, and in some area of this message really hit your heart, and you need prayer today, and you just want to commit to, you know what, my shield of faith, my faith has been weak or non-existent, but today, this message sparked me, and you want prayer for it. If you want prayer today in connection to this message and rededicate your life, come down and pray with one of the prayer team members. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, listen, have someone pray with you today. They'll lay hands on you. And they'll pray with you to receive the Holy Spirit baptism. Again, it's not a Pentecostal charismatic thing. It's a Bible thing. It's in the Bible. Amen? And you need the Holy Spirit. We need every bit of the Holy Spirit that we can get on this earth. Now, if you need prayer for anything else, healing, a family member, anything, come on down and let them pray with you. So you all have a blessed week. If you need anything, you know where to find me. I love you all. Have a good one, guys. Take this word out. Take it out. Hallelujah.